the reformists are obviously reaching out to the bloggers or starting to reach out to the bloggers, but what about the people who hold the keys of power, the conservatives in Iran? Do you think they understand what's going on under their noses?
I think they will, because, you know, at the same time that there is always this kind of rivalry or competition, especially in the campaigning, I think because now the reformist candidate has a weblog himself, and he himself, Mustafa Moin, it's his name, he writes in Persian, and I know that he himself writes them. It's not something that the PR manager or whatever writes for him. And it's really interesting to see that to see this happen. And I'm sure that maybe one of those conservative candidates that I sort of have connections with, because his brother is the culture attaché in Ottawa, and it's an interesting story because I once wrote about him, and then he called me, and we started to chat sometimes, and he's a really cool guy, and maybe he's different with his brother, but anyway, they're brothers, and they have connections. And I sort of, and I think that he is smart enough to suggest his brother that you should also have a weblog. This is the best chance you can reach out to middle-class, educated young people who are, who could be a great and powerful constituency for you.
You've talked about people who are the best hope for change in Iran. Mm-hmm. In some ways, some people say people like you are the best hope for change.
Mm-hmm.
You've decided to leave the country.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you see your role as an Iranian by birth, now Canadian by passport?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to put Iran behind you and move on to a new life? Will it always be part of your life? How do you how do you build a bridge between your past and your present and future? Mm-hmm.
It's a good question, because it's not, some parts of it's not clear yet to me. But when I see the past four or five years that I've spent in Toronto, I think technology has made it possible to have a voice in your own local community without being there. And I think the conservatives are really frustrated by this, because they were thinking for a long time that if you make someone leave the country, then you could get rid of them. But it's not the case anymore. Now we could even be more effective if we go outside Iran, because of the internet especially, and maybe some satellite TV channels and radio channels. So I could say that anyone who wants to have some effect in Iran, to go out and do it from there. And it's a great example. These weblogs are the greatest examples. One single person with a laptop, who was me, could introduce, could encourage, could get so many people to break a very important political limit and start something that anybody can do in their own interest, in their own fields. There are so many things that people outside Iran can do if they're creative enough and think out of the box. And I think it's just the beginning, because the whole world is now very concerned about Iran after Iraq, what happened in Iraq, and because North Korea is too difficult to reach. I think they're really concerned about the future of Iran. And one thing which is very important in this regard is, I always say that if there were hundreds of Salam Pakses, the famous Iraqi bloggers, the blogger in Baghdad, if there were hundreds of them, it could have been at least more difficult for Bush and Blair to convince the public in the West that we have to attack these people, invade their country, and liberate them. Because a voiceless country is something which really easy to convince other people to invade. And like North Korea, compare North Korea and Iran. There are so many voices coming out of Iran which shows that this is not that kind of society that you're talking about. It's a live, organic sort of it's not a democracy yet, but it's going that way. So let it go, don't interfere, and you'll see that this could happen in a few years, or at least about a decade or so. So I think in every single weblog that is written, especially in English, from Iran, is a powerful voice that could prevent some kind of military attack or something like that, and convince the public and the world that these people are caring about enough about their future, so do not interfere if you don't know their language. But there are so many problems. The language barrier is very important. I always say that if something is not in English about Iran, it hasn't even happened. And it's true. There are so many stories happening inside Iran, within Iran, but no reporter, no Western reporter knows about it because there are only a few of them who can read and speak Persian. And it's a shame, I guess. I believe it's a shame because this is exactly why the Arab world is so disconnected and disillusioned with the West, because they cannot communicate. They haven't been able to communicate for a long time, for decades. And now you see the results. And it's funny when you hear, with all this, with all these problems, the Pentagon had fired a couple of hundreds of translators from Arab, who knew Arabic or Persian, because they were gay.
For giving 75,000 Persians and counting their voice. Hussein Derakhshan, thanks for coming in. Enjoy your visit to Europe.
Thank you.